We'll have a brief opportunity if you'd like to ask any questions to Lars, if you wouldn't mind staying up there, Lars. And if you want to talk back to him or ask any questions, then please feel free to do that. And then after that, I will come back and we'll see what the time is and we'll take it from there. So, any question?
Yeah.
Beyond the book you're about to write, where would you suggest starting to get a good, would you suggest for maybe recommending students to get a good grasp of David?
John Julius Norwich, actually, who I mentioned, has written probably the most engaging and interesting history. It's a three-volume thing, but he abridged it to just one volume, 300, 400 pages, something like that. I find that was very, when I was first getting interested in them, that was the first book I picked up.
Yeah. So what's the title?
A Short History of Byzantium. Which is a rarity, you know, it's 1,200 years. Most books are, you know, several thousand pages or a number of different volumes. I mean, if you want, you can go right to Gibbon in his six volumes. I wouldn't suggest that. Yeah?
There's also the 12 Byzantine rulers.
Right. If you wait a year, then there's a 12 Byzantine rulers book.
What do you mean your podcast?
Oh, right.
There's also Carl's
Right. Right, yeah, you can go and. Yeah, thanks.
Can you talk about your podcast?
What would you like to know?
How you got started, because that's what you don't know.
Oh.
They don't know these things.
Well, I was always interested in ancient and medieval history, and especially Roman history. As a kid, I would read everything I could find about it. And it always seemed to me that you have Roman history, we're marching along, then everything starts breaking down, the barbarians come in, and then it falls, and you have the Dark Ages, blah, 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 and then you have the Enlightenment, and yay, here comes the scientific revolution, and now we're landing on the moon. And I always wondered, well, what would happen if, say, the Roman Empire hadn't fallen, and there had been no Dark Ages. Would we have landed on the moon in 969, you know, instead of 1969? Would we now be living on Mars or under the ocean? I mean, what, you know, where would we have gone here? And that was one of the initial reasons when I found out about the Byzantine Empire. I was, hold on a second, the Roman Empire? It actually answered the question because it didn't fall, obviously, in the East till 1453. And we're not walking on the moon or living on Mars. That's how I initially sort of was directed over there. And then we took a trip in 2001 to Turkey. we got to see all these places firsthand. And I would be reading these stories, and I was, my older brother, I'd read something like, oh, Nicephorus Diogenes, he got killed and they took his head and cut off the top of his skull and poured silver in it, made it a drinking cup. Isn't that cool? Or stories I found really interesting. I would tell my brother, and he said, I have no context. I have no clue. You know, I can't put this history in any place. I have no idea. The Middle East, it went from a classical past to an Islamic present. I have no idea what's going on in between. So can you tell me about it? So that day, we walked down to the beach, and I gave him a quick summary of Byzantine history as I knew it at the time. I think I threw five rulers or whatever. I hit the highlights, and then he said, you know, we should record that, because we were listening to books on tape, and we were going to, hey, the teaching company, let's make up a company called the Learning Company, and you can record this. So I said, sure. I was just sort of joking around. I recorded an introduction. I picked the number 12 because of Suetonius. And I had no intention of doing anything other than that introduction. That was just to get him to stop talking to me about it. I sent it off to him and promptly forgot about it. A year later, I was in Jordan working on an archaeological site, and I get this email from my brother about this new thing called podcasts that he had just put up on, if you go to iTunes, you know, you all know what podcasts are. He sent me a picture of my name on iTunes, which blew my mind. I said, oh, that's fantastic. And then people started writing comments and emailing, like, when's the next one going to come out? And I realized, oh, I'm actually going to have to do this. And then it sort of snowballed from there.
To the point where he was invited to dinner with the king and queen of Bulgaria, which I always think is the strangest part of this story.
Oh, first there was one comment, and then there were lots of comments. And people wanted to be put on a mailing list to know when the next lecture was going to come out. Everyone's complaining because it took me about a month between lectures.
How dare you?
In fact, it's 2.5 years on, and I'm on ruler number 10. So hopefully by this summer I can finish it off.
What do you think is going on in our culture now that has made this so fascinating to people?
I think people have always been fascinated with Rome. You know, there's I, Claudius, there's an HBO series on Rome, we can't get enough of killing emperors with soap dishes or whatever. I mean, people are really fascinated by this. And Byzantine history is this great, not to mention its relevance for what's happening in the Middle East, but it's this great, it's really a ripping good story. And just as engaging as anything Roman history has to offer. And because of, you know, various reasons, the split between East and West, everything I was trying to get into, it has remained a forgotten story and a lost story. And I think now with podcasts and new media, it's beginning to unlock a tremendous potential of armchair historians like me who read something, find it interesting, and you can sort of get it out there to a wide audience.
And it's free.
It's free, and you know, the nature of a podcast is if you subscribe, you hit subscribe, your computer, every time you turn it on, will look for the latest edition and then download it. So there's no going out there, checking the website, seeing if they updated, none of that. It automatically just brings it to you, you know, until you get sick of it and say stop. But I think it's just such a fascinating story, and now people are, in some ways it's not surprising to me that the overwhelming response there's been, because it's such a good story. The only surprise is that it was me.
Well, thank you, Lars, very much indeed for that.